You're listening to One in a series of presentations from the 2008 High Ed Web Conference in Springfield, Missouri.
Wonderful. Well, if you've had a chance to read this, we submitted our proposals for presentations for this conference way back when, in the spring or something like that. And as I sort of went back and looked at my presentation and was rehearsing it and was thinking about it, it occurred to me that things had changed in the few months since I submitted it. So last night, way too late, right when I was getting ready to go to sleep, actually, I said, you know, I want to tweak this presentation a bit to talk a little bit more about, let me start with what I submitted. With just one full-time staffer, my department produces over 100 videos a year, distributed via the web, podcasts, sites such as YouTube and Facebook, digital signage, campus cable, and traditional broadcast. This keeps audiences engaged, discover IEPY's model for video communication, including workflow, staffing, and funding, and how it all fits with other communications. I think that's a pretty good presentation, but like I said, things have changed a bit. And I will talk about that in a condensed form, but I'd like to talk about some of the things we've learned and some of our successes and failures, because I think that type of thing is a lot more interesting to this group, and especially when looking at successes and failures and where we've come since the spring, because we've kind of taken a step forward, and someone should unlock the door. I don't know. Hi. All right. So, an introduction. There we go. I'm Steve Hodges, as was mentioned, and my title is Electronic Communications Manager in the Office of Communications and Marketing at IUPUI. IUPUI stands for Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. Our campus was established in 1969 as a partnership between Indiana University and Purdue University, two huge rivals in Indiana, and somehow we live together happily on one campus in Indianapolis. Our campus is just two blocks from the state capitol. We're sort of in the hub of it all, around all the Fortune 500 companies and the high-rises and all that. We started in the early 70s with about 10,000 students. Actually, I was reading about this campus, and it has a very similar history, established about the same time, about the same size of campus back in the day. This year, we finally surpassed 30,000 students on campus. About one-third are graduate and professional students. And let's see, 1,300 students live on campus, and the rest are all commuters. So a little bit about Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, which was also the Jeopardy question to the answer, what is the longest university title in the United States? We were the longest. Then we dropped at Indianapolis, and it's just Indianapolis. We're no longer the longest. It's great. So a little bit of trivia there for you. So IEPUI. As I mentioned, I'm in the Office of Communications and Marketing, and I just wanted to show you a quick org chart. This becomes relevant. I don't usually show this, but so we have our executive director. We have essentially media relations on this side, which is PR, our campus spokespersons, a department of three. These, in addition to being our media relations, they're also our storytellers. This is common across many university campuses, but these are the folks who are actually interviewing faculty, writing the stories, and trying to drum up some interest. In addition to your traditional press releases, they also produce a number of our electronic communications, such as internal newsletters, alumni magazine, which goes out to 130,000 people twice a year, and a few other publications. And then there's electronic communications, which I manage. And I have four full-time web developers and a video editor. Now, whenever I say four full-time web developers to a group like this, I get a couple of people in the back who start throwing things at me. No one's done that yet because it's early. But let me explain. Four full-time web developers, we support 62 websites across our campus. So we've really centralized a lot of web development and web management on our campus. A lot of departments help us fund those four positions because we are handling their web needs. So while, yes, we have a kind of a large team, larger than most universities have, and I know this because people throw things at me, we're really, that's not just supporting a campus website, it's not just supporting the initiatives of communications and marketing, it's really supporting a number of departments across our campus. And then we have a full-time video editor. Our video editor was a new position last summer. Before that, I've been with the department 4 years, or with IEPY 4 years. Before that, I had an intern, okay, a video intern. And this was someone who was studying a field related to video production, whether it's, you know, communication technology. We have a new media program in our School of Informatics. Could be an art student, something like that. And I had an intern, and we had some successes there, which I'll talk about later. That evolved into a full-time position. That was probably that was really the starting point for a lot of what I'm doing. Okay, so where are we here? What we produce. Okay, 2006 to this summer, because like I said, things started to change. We were producing about 100 videos a year with a full-time editor and an intern. So my synopsis was a little misleading. We do have a student working for us, but, you know, one full-time staffer, okay? And what types of videos were we producing? And I won't just show a list. I'll show some things in a minute. But regular, meaning regular in frequency, about 4 a month, student faculty profiles. So interesting students, faculty who are doing groundbreaking work, et cetera. We were occasionally doing features, like, you know, featuring a department on campus, a service available to students, perhaps a lecture series, something like that, or a video that might play in an event. Like, I produce videos that play at our commencement ceremony and in a few other places. So we would cover events, of course, you know, standing there with the camera and covering, shoot an event and posting that online so people can check it out later, maybe. And then a newscast called The Spot, which we won an admissions advertising award for. But The Spot, essentially, it's 5 to 6 minutes each week. We have a student who hosts it, and we just talk about what's happening around campus, what's happened in the past week, what's coming up. Why are we doing this? Because we're a commuter campus, and a lot of students, when they're coming to class, they drive to campus, get out of their car, walk to the building. After class, they leave the building and walk back to their car and go home. So there's a perception that there isn't anything happening on our campus. So there is a lot of life on our campus. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of events. There's a lot of major speakers, et cetera. So The Spot is one way that we showcase that to dispel those. So where that video goes, here's where I get to get off the PowerPoint. Pardon me for using Internet Explorer, but Firefox didn't have Flash installed, so just bear with me. This is our campus homepage, and we got Freaky Guy up there. We're actually featuring, this is one of our art exhibits, and that should be rotating, but anyhow, we have videos embedded in our homepage. This is getting ready to change probably next month. The earbuds over here weren't as successful as I hoped they'd be, but regardless, we're embedding video in this page. This page is viewed about 60,000 times a day. And it is by far the most viewed page on our domain. The audience, or let's say the actual users or visitors of the site, are mostly internal. They're current students. They are faculty and staff. How do I know this? Well, we have analytics, but they're clicking on email. They're clicking on our course management software. They're using it as a portal to get to where they what they're looking for. They use it regularly, and I appreciate this because it gives me the opportunity to put freaky people like that in front of them. So IEPY homepage is one place the video goes. And in addition to the homepage, we have Flash players, you know, on dozens and dozens and dozens of other pages. Yes, this is The Spot. This is a feature about a faculty member who took a sabbatical and wrote a book on donuts. I don't get that. I'm in the wrong industry. And then a campus event called IUPUI's Got Talent, or doesn't if you watch it. So we're not going to watch it. It's too early. Last night, maybe. And then the other main place we've been distributing video is on YouTube. So This is our YouTube site, and there's somebody singing something really bad. But youtube.com/IEPUI. So we actually have, I think we're up to 172 videos up on YouTube. Is that what we're up to? I think that's 173. Somebody added one this morning. We have a number of playlists. We have a lot of different videos. And I also favorite all kinds of stuff. Basically, I look on YouTube for videos about IEPUI, and if they're favorable, I favorite them. So videos go in two main places. Third place is podcasting, of course. This really, in the title of the presentation, you hope I'd talk about it. We're also podcasting. And that I would show you, but I don't really want to try to get iTunes to work on this machine. But we'll talk about it more in a minute. So back to the presentation. Where the video goes, okay. So what it comes down to, though, is what I think we do different. And this is where we start getting into workflow and our approach. Okay, so what I've realized or come to accept is that we're producing video in a YouTube world. If your audience is current and prospective students, which generally my audience is, they have practically grown up with YouTube. What does that mean? They've been looking at really crappy video on the web for a long time. That's what they know. That's the reality of it. If you look at YouTube and what's popular there, it's obviously user-generated content and TV shows, but let's just ignore the TV show part of it for a moment. User-generated content, production values are terrible, but it seems very real. Why I think we do things different? Well, okay, I've talked to a lot of people around the country, a lot of people within Indiana University system, and you know, a lot of people that are producing video are doing it on an old broadcast model, where they have a studio. They have a $90,000 HD camcorder. They have a staff of video editor, maybe a sound engineer, producer, all kinds of different roles. The size of that kind of staff varies, but it's very much based in the broadcast world. So they're producing things or videos at a slower pace because typically very high production values. But they're not telling as many stories as, say, a 30,000 student campus really needs to be. So we live in a YouTube world, and that means we need higher volume. The production values honestly don't matter as much. Instead of a $100,000 HD camcorder, I started with a $700 mini DV camcorder. And in market research and our focus groups, our audiences told us they liked our video better. Production values didn't matter as much because they're used to watching YouTube. So we live in a YouTube world. And for those of you who haven't really started video production on your campus, you probably don't have access to a studio. I would probably suggest not going that route. A lot of universities do have studios. They have a full team. But I don't have the budget for that. I was never given the budget for that. So next, what we do different. Okay, so I mentioned this broadcast model. How we very well could be set up is I could be the producer for all projects. I can meet with the clients and bring in my web editor or my video editor and videographer when it makes sense. And we would have several people in our department involved in every production. What does that mean? Well, more people means more cost, but it also slows things down. Let's just be realistic. So we look within our own department and we have our media relations staff. Now, these people are generally seasoned journalists. I mean, they've been in journalism for 20 or 30 years. So they know how to tell a story. They know how to find a good story. And they already have regular contact with people around campus. So our media relations staff have become our video producers. We still continue to do a number of regular productions. So we feature students and faculty. But something new that was their idea. One or two times a week, we interview a faculty member about something, some current news topic that's related to their area of expertise. And they were so creative to call this current news, and I've been trying to talk them into something more interesting, but we'll get there. For now, it's enough to know that we're producing these, we're placing them on YouTube, we're placing them everywhere else, and we're showcasing our faculty in a different way. But we've put this in the hands of people outside of my little world of electronic communications, into the hands of the storytellers. So they become the producers for their individual projects. What's that mean? Well, they're doing the logistics. So they're finding an interview location, they're preparing the interview questions, they're setting up the interview. All my guy has to do, or girl, because I have someone staff now, I'll talk about that in a minute too, all they have to do is show up with the camera, shoot the video, and go back and edit it. So we're getting into workflow here a bit. And that's something we're doing a little bit different. We're using our videographers for videography. We didn't bring in extra layers of management to manage this process. We used our existing resources. Now, we produce video for other people on campus as well from time to time. We'll cover campus events, et cetera. Well, the person who is essentially running that event or planning that event becomes the producer. We work with that person directly. The videographer works with that person directly. And that person becomes the producer. So we've taken out a layer. Okay, what else do we do different? Our videos don't live on an island. Back to workflow and a little bit of a social application here. What I've learned is that a lot of people are using these standalone Flash players nowadays, right, to play video on their sites. So standalone Flash players. That means, you know, you can drop it on any site. You can drop a YouTube video in any page. But most of the time, these really do stand alone. For instance, our university president, and not to pick on him, but he produces fabulous, I mean, they produce for the president this fabulous presidential updates, okay? Now, personally, I think this would be better handled through text, just a text on the web. But regardless, he's producing these videos and placing them on the president's website. They don't go anywhere else. They're on the president's website. So unless you go to the president's website, you never see it. And when the new one comes out, that old video is just pulled off his site and never to be found again. You can't view them. It lives on an island. I see this a lot on my campus. I see this a lot on other websites as well, where we produce a video and it ends up in one place. Folks on my campus are pretty territorial. I see that all over the place. A specific school or department produces a video. They want it hosted on their site because they want to drive traffic to their site. And they won't share it. So content lives on an island. Well, we're not doing that. You won't be able to, you probably can't read that, but this is essentially how we distribute 90% of our video. It's a basic web form. It's probably in tables. Don't crucify me, but this is internal. And essentially, a video editor enters metadata into this form, uploads the video to the server, click submit, and it goes from that system to an XML file, which is then pushed out to our campus homepage automatically, as well as 50 or 60 other embedded players on our site, and then there's my iPod, and then out to iTunes, iTunes U, podcast.iu.edu, which is Indiana University's podcast portal, and other places. So we enter it once, it's pushed out to dozens and dozens of places, just filling out one form, web form. So our video doesn't exist on an island. We then add video to a few other places. Let's see if I listed it here or not. Nah, it was late last night, really. We upload the video to YouTube. If it's somewhat interesting, we'll add it to our Facebook as well. We have a digital signage around campus, like you've seen in this building. Some of our videos do run there. The spot actually plays there every week. It is open captioned, so you can read along, because we don't have sound on any of our digital signage. Plays on campus cable, so it plays to the 1,300 students in housing. And also education access on Comcast and Bright House in Indianapolis. So those are all manual ads. But we can push it out to two of our three main distribution platforms by filling out one web form. So our video does not exist on an island. So that's what I think we do different. Building on our successes. Well, here's where the presentation started to change a bit. What worked and which institutional priorities can we support? Well, experimentation. I've mentioned this. When I first started 4 years ago, I was hired by the department. You know, I begged for a $700 camera and essentially was experimenting. When I hired, when I got the funding for my first intern, we were again experimenting. Will students produce the type of videos, the quality of videos we're hoping to get? Those sorts of things. So here's a list of different things we've experimented with. Production values. Okay, this concept of we live in a YouTube world. In fact, from Butler, right? Butler has Butler University, butler.edu. I'll plug your site. Has a great series of videos. What is it, like a year? What do you call it? Is it? Oh, so you have a few of them. Let's say. Say a year in the life of, you know, freshmen, you know, from packing for school, college, and you know, up through their discovery of their freshman year of college, whatever. The production values, these were intentionally produced to not look professionally produced, in my opinion. They look student produced. So I've seen this at other universities in Indianapolis, I think this has been a success. Not aiming for, you know, Emmy award-winning broadcast quality, but instead setting the bar a little bit lower, but cranking out a lot more video. Production by interns, big win. I only had one intern that didn't work out so well, but my let's see, an intern a year ago, he's serving over in Iraq right now, but he just kicked butt. He did a great job. He would grab onto a story and tell it from his perspective, bring a really fresh production style. It's really energetic. And in fact, having an intern on staff, he became sort of viral. I mean, he was influencing his friends to produce videos about IUPUI. We actually started seeing videos about our campus on YouTube because this student was pretty well connected in certain communities and inspired his friends to tell stories. So anyhow. Production by interns is a success. Sending cameras with regular, like non-video students to capture their experiences. Big success as well. Whether it's our, well, what I started with, our $700 camcorder, I send that out and I also send out flip cameras. Flip cameras are, I don't know, about the size of my iPod, a little bit thicker, and you just, you know, you can shoot video with them. Okay? So, very inexpensive. But we've been sending these with students on, say, service trips or study abroad. To send one with our basketball team to, you know, a conference tournament, that sort of thing. I haven't looked at that tape. I'm a little afraid. But that was a big success as well. And while this video, certainly not of very high production values, kind of shaky, but they still captured, they actually took it upon themselves to shoot some interviews. Shot a lot of supplemental footage, a lot of the B-roll, and what they brought back was very useful. And especially if you flag this was shot by so-and-so student in the department of whatever. So that was a big success. Soliciting student-produced content. Now, here's what I mean by that. Essentially, I asked students to submit videos they'd produce for class projects, or given them a topic about the university or the campus and say, hey, go produce a video about this and have a competition and give away a couple iPods or something like that. How did I promote the competition? Promoted it through all of the usual communication channels that I have on campus website. We have semi-weekly emails that go to students, which is actually very successful. Contacted student organizations directly, worked through faculty. Basically, I think I gave my best effort at promoting the competitions. But you know what? This is a complete flop. I don't know if it's because students don't really care to give a university free content in their free time, or what. But we have not had a lot of success with this. But all of our administrators on campus and a lot of other people I talk to, this is their very first thought. Oh, we have 30,000 students and they love YouTube, so let's ask them for their videos. Not so much. Maybe you'll have success with it, but we haven't. Recycling content from local media. If your local media is willing and they're doing stories about your university, whether it's some new building on your campus, your football program, et cetera, or maybe they're interviewing one of your faculty members regarding their expert opinion on a current news topic, your university potentially has a lot of video content to play with here. If your local media is willing, and some of them are in our market, many of them are not, but some of them are. So we asked them for those clips, they gave us those clips, and we reuse them. And repurposing content from other departments at IUPUI. This was a no-brainer. There are plenty of other departments producing video on our campus, some of them spending a ton of money, wish I had that money, but regardless, a ton of money to produce videos about their program, about their faculty, about, recruiting videos, all sorts of different things. This, believe it or not, was a complete failure. Now, I don't know what the culture on your campus is like, but I don't know if I just need to go around and hit people with a bigger stick or what, but there's a lot of content out there on our campus that I'm hoping to tap into, and I know at some point I'll have some success. But there are many ways that, if you're university communications or communications and marketing or whatever, there are a lot of things that you can try to tap, and you'll have varying levels of success. I mean, every campus is a little bit different. So, well, I mentioned earlier that people tend to operate in silos on our campus, okay? And some of the video producers aren't being paid to re-output their video and send it over to communications and marketing. I mean, you get that attitude. Right. Or some of them were very intentional about it. They said, we have our own YouTube page and we want to put it there. Or we want it on our department website. We don't want people going to your website. So there's a lot of this territorial things. And, some of them spent a lot of money on these videos. I can understand some of those concerns, especially, trying to build your own YouTube presence. So there's a variety of reasons. And a lot of it depends on your campus culture. We don't have a mandate from the top, for instance. And I think that may be coming. There's just been that sort of friction. So, building on successes, more interns. This is 2 a.m. humor, people. Building on our successes, more interns. Well, here's where things really started to change. Last spring, about a month after I submitted this presentation, I got a little bit of a bump in my budget and decided to go from one intern to three. And then I had a conversation with a couple other departments who were interested in increasing the volume of footage or videos produced about their department. And I went from three interns to six. My six interns for this fall. They started in August. They've been around, 5 or 6 weeks? 6 weeks now. I had about, 25 applicants for these six positions, which is a lot considering I promoted in the summer and a lot of students already had internships lined up for the fall. You say, wow, six interns. You talked about a staff of one in here. Well, my department's paying for three of them. Of those three, two are work study. So if those two work 20 hours a week and I pay them through work study $3 an hour, I'm not really paying much out of my budget for that staff. The other three are being funded by other departments. So we've gotten a little creative here. So when I was interviewing these students, I had a couple questions for them. One, what is there about IUPUI that you think other people need to know? What is here that other people don't know about? Or what stories would you tell about this campus? And then, ask the questions. What are you involved in on campus? What do you know about, institutional priorities? I didn't phrase it that way. those sorts of things, and try to get a feel for how passionate these students were about our campus, whether they thought there were even stories worth telling about our campus, what kind of things they were interested in. And one of the first interviews I did, someone said, well, I think there's a lot of really interesting students doing cool stuff around here. There's also really interesting faculty. Like, there's listed a couple projects in his specific department that he thought were pretty cool. And I said, I think this kid just wants a job because he's looked at the videos we produce and sees that that's what we feature, and that's what he's regurgitating. So about 10 or 12 interviews later, I heard the same thing in almost every interview. I heard a variety of things, different things students were passionate about, but there was a thread that there's a lot of interesting things happening on the campus. Yeah. Oh, okay, you're just stretching because you're by the wall and you can't. So we had an orientation in early August. I was traveling most of August, so we had it kind of well before they started. But in the orientation, I sort of asked those questions again. And then I told them, you will be assigning yourself most of your video projects for the semester, along with the expectation that I expect a video a week out of each of you. So the students are producing things that are of interest to them. When we have a campus event to shoot, I ask the, actually five of these are video interns, one's journalism. I'll ask the five video interns, who's interested in covering this? And more than likely, someone is actually interested in that event. It's not just an assignment. So if they're producing a faculty profile, you saw on our homepage, we have a video about a faculty member that did a book on donuts. One of the students went out and found that story himself and said, hey, there's this really cool faculty member that's doing this. I'd like to profile him. And he did. So there's a sense of ownership amongst our interns. And I mentioned that we don't have a lot of student-produced content that we were able to tap on our campus. Well, yeah, we're paying these students, but this is student-produced content. They're all credited. They are shooting their own style. They're all taking a great deal of pride in their work. And we're getting student-produced content. An interesting side effect of this is in the 6 weeks or so since we started this semester, these students' friends have started producing more about our campus. We've seen more content out on YouTube. A couple of these students have had ideas that I wouldn't let them move forward with. They produced them anyway in their free time and posted them online. So maybe we're sort of seeding the future of social applications on the web or social content on the web. So is anybody out there? I'm not talking about you. This is a segue and not a very good one. So that's been our major change. We've really increased the size of our staffing. But my video editor has gone more to a manager. He's managing these students. The spot, our podcast, which I would encourage you to check out, is entirely produced by the students now. So this has become student media. Our journalism intern writes it. It does a lot of the interviews. Our students are producing stories that are of interest to them. Because if they're of interest to these six students, I guarantee you they're of interest to a lot more students on our campus. So a lot of things are becoming more relevant and I think more effective communications pieces because we brought in students. The students are not only producing, but they're producing their ideas. So something that's always nice to cover in these types of things is some analytics. Who's watching what where? Yeah, question. Sure. Well, the question, how have we dealt with this explosion? And one of the departments that is paying for one of the interns also paid for three new workstations. for interns. Okay, but they're sitting in pretty cramped quarters right now. To be honest, we have a new campus center which opened on our campus last January. There happened to be a little bit of space in there, and we took advantage of that. But I think the biggest shift has been taking the person who was doing all of, or the majority of our video production, my full-time video editor, and I've turned him into a supervisor. So he's really not producing anything at this point, or not much. He's supervising, he's managing the interns. So that's been the bigger challenge. They are sharing equipment. They're not working at home. Some of them use their own equipment if our equipment isn't available, being, you know, film students or communication students. Some of them do own them, own cameras. So that's sort of been how we've dealt with that growth, is by shifting some personnel, really, and then begging for equipment. So let me get through this real quick, and then we'll jump into questions quickly. Is anybody out there? Okay. So I mentioned a lot of the different places where we're distributing video, and yes, this won't be up long enough, but that's okay. So here's how it breaks down. We have about 18,000 views of our videos per month online. I can't track the offline ones because Nielsen doesn't care about education access. And of those 18,000, this is podcasting, so people actually downloading MP4 files off of our server. Podcasting and YouTube both have about 8,200 views a month. Okay? And then our campus website, our homepage, and all the other players, it's about 2,300 views a month. This was last month. This was September 08. So, is anyone out there? Yeah, 18,000 views. I think that's pretty good. That's sort of that breakdown. I'd like to take questions. We're running out of time, but I know some of you have some good questions. Yeah. Yes, I did produce the Flash Video Player in-house. We have a Flash Video server that's actually maintained by one of our departments. Our School of Informatics has a Flash Video server, so we've taken advantage of that. It's not, I don't think, necessary. I think, you know, popping those files on an institutional web host would have sufficed. But I did develop the player in-house because I wanted it to pull from our XML files. I wanted to present it in a very specific way on our homepage, develop that in-house. I also wanted to be able to link to transcripts for all of our videos. A journalism intern actually transcribes all of our videos under 10 minutes. So a lot of Flash players didn't offer that mix of functionality. I wanted these to work as a system. So I developed that in-house. The next phase of that will actually, I'm working on our new Flash player, and that'll actually include synced captioning. So, which is big for accessibility. I'm actually working with some deaf students on our campus to make sure this is done right. But I've already written a tool that'll allow my journalism intern, after she's written the transcript, to go ahead and sync it with the video. That I wrote with PHP and JavaScript. So we've developed these tools in-house because I think they're pretty narrow. They have some pretty specific features. Any other questions? What else we got here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the quick version. So the producer, if that's someone in media relations, contacts our video editor and says, "Hey, we want to shoot an interview with this person," and they go ahead and set up that interview time. Like I said, a lot of that pre-production is left to the producer. It's left to the person in media relations. My video team isn't really handling that. Okay. So we show up at the shoot, shoot the video, take it back, and we capture it. Sometimes we'll shoot on an external hard drive too, so we can copy it over to the computer faster. But regardless, the intern will create a rough edit, send that off to the client, the producer, say, "What do you think?" Get edits back or changes back, make those changes, and send it back for final approval. Once that's done, we output it to 7 different formats. We have broadband and 56K versions of our video on our website, for instance. So there's two formats, MP4 format for our iTunes and YouTube, DVD copy, archive copy, one for digital signage. The list goes on and on. And then that is then input into the system I showed you, and it's pushed out into the wild, and they clean up their hard drives, send the footage off to university archives, and that's the process. Right. I'm being told to wrap it up, but I'll... Oh, repeat the question. That's what that meant. Usually that means get the heck out of here, Steve. Okay, I got you. Okay, repeating the question. So are we producing any content for academic materials? No. A nice thing about being at one of the 20 largest universities in the world, IU, Indiana University, is that our course management software actually handles podcasting for faculty, which is kind of cool. And we do not do any production for our academic materials. That's handled by other departments in-house at IU, and sometimes they outsource it. More often than not, though, faculty are producing that type of thing themselves. So we're not. We have other departments for that. Questions. Yeah. Yeah. We use an app that was, believe it or not, freeware, and I don't remember the name of it. Let me think about that. But yes, we do all that encoding through through a piece of software. So we output from Premiere, you know, our archive quality copy of the video. We drop that into a piece of software, and it cranks out all those different formats. So yeah, we sure do. It doesn't. It should. Does the application add the metadata to those files? It doesn't. I need to look for a better application that can handle that. Good call. We're an Adobe shop. Premiere CS3 almost caused me to throw out all my workstations and buy Macs because it had some serious problems with HDV footage. We're shooting in HDV. So I don't know. I'm not tied to a specific software package or platform. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, the question was, we're not using, he was asking about what platform we use, and we are an Adobe shop. But that's subject to change. If Adobe keeps screwing up, I'm going to switch. I don't have any fundamental issues with the software, but we've been having a lot of problems with how it handles HD footage. We've been having a lot of problems getting Premiere CS3 to output QuickTime files, and it's caused some major hiccups in our workflow. So if it can't, if we can't produce in it because it's causing a lot of problems, I'm going to switch. Other than that, I love Premiere. Can I get more questions out of them through the group or no? You gonna kick me out? One more question. All right, Bueller. Come on, somebody. I can. Yeah.
Do you guys reuse footage from prior shots? And if so, how do you handle cataloging all
that? Good question. The question is, do we reuse any footage from prior shoots, and how do we catalog that footage? Yes, we reuse a lot of footage. We were using external hard drives until we realized external hard drives have this tendency to fail. In lieu of me getting a new workstation one year, we bought a RAID and are storing all of our, a lot of our B-roll, a lot of our stock, you know, footage of campus on our RAID. How do we manage that content? I don't have a really good solution for that. In fact, I have a terrible solution for that, but we make it work. It's at this point generally file-based. We do have a spreadsheet where we tend to log it, tape numbers, type of content, and that sort of thing. And we find ourselves referring to that spreadsheet in a while. I don't know if I want to invest in a digital asset management system. I mean, they're just so expensive. But that's where we should be. So good question. But yeah, reuse. We repurpose footage all the time. I guess that's all the time we have. I'll be here if you want questions.
more presentations from the 2008 Higher Ed Web Conference, visit higheredweb.org/2008 or sign up for our podcasting feed at higheredweb.org/podcast.xml.